Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from first 16 and 17, also using James 5. I'll read one verse, especially as text verse for the sermon, 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And there we read God's holy word as follows. And Elijah the Tisbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The theme for the sermon is Elijah was a man like us. 3 points of attention. The first point, living in a time of moral decay. Second point, praying and staying faithful. And the third point, kept by God's providence. So the theme is Elijah was a man like us. 3 points, living in a time of moral decay, praying and staying faithful, and kept by God's providence. A congregation, can we really say that Elijah was a man like us? How long ago did he live? Thousands of years. If you think about the history of the United States, the immigrants came here, the settlers, something like 400 years ago, and we might say we are the same like they are. And in the meantime, we know there are many differences. Even if you look over the last 100 years, so much changed. We live in such a different way. And there was a time that it was rare to see a car outside and people would walk or use horses. And now the streets are crowded. Cars, and we have so many technical means. Our life is so different. It changed so much, especially in our days. It's changing all the time. It goes faster and faster, all the developments and all the changes. Can we say that we are really the same like the first settlers? Can we say that Elijah was a man like us? A man subject to like passions as we are. That's what Scripture says. But Elijah was in such a special position also. He was a prophet of the Lord. And we remember that at a certain time he would stand at Mount Carmel and that he would confront the people with a great choice which God they would serve, the living God or Baal. And how he killed the priests of Baal. All those things that Elijah has experienced. And how he was taken to heaven at the end of his life in a chariot of fire with horses. Fire. Can we say that Elijah was a man like us? Like you and I? Is that true? What does it mean when Scripture says it? Well, the Greek word in Acts 14, verse 15, where Paul and Barnabas are saying something that's exactly the same. There's a situation that people in that city wanted to sacrifice to them. Because they thought they were gods because of the miracle that happened. And then they stop them. They say, Man, sir, why would you do those things? We are men with the same passions as you. Man subject to like passions as we are. There is a similarity. We are men. Elijah was a man like you are, men and women, and I am, created by God, human beings, fallen in sin, Elijah was a man like us, subject to like passions as we are. There he is, you see him? All of a sudden, there he is, standing in front of the king, Ahab. He was a man like us. So what does it mean to be man, fallen human being? It means to live in a world full of sin, in a world full of moral decay. And we might sometimes complain about our days, about the situation in our society, and we have reason to do that. You think about all the sins that we do, if I would only mention abortion, that we kill the unborn life. I could continue for a long time to speak about the sins we do. In many ways we are disobedient to the word of God, not keeping his day like we should, and all the sins we do, lying, stealing, being lovers of ourselves more than of God. Elijah was a man like us. He lived in such a world. We might sometimes complain about our days, and we have a reason. But what do you think about the time of Elijah? The time of Ahab, the king of the 10 tribes. He was the worst. All there were 7 kings, the 10 tribes after the kingdom split, after Solomon passed away. It was a punishment of the Lord because this wise King Solomon did foolish in marrying many women and following foreign women to serve idols, their idols, their gods, which are no gods. And God punished and separated the kingdom in 2 tribes and 10 tribes. And then Ahab became king in the days of Elijah. He was king for 22 years, that's a long time. We have a president for 4 years. We might have a president for 8 years. And then it's over. 22 years, a whole generation, you could say. Ahab is king. And scripture is very clear about what kind of a king he was. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. 7 kings were there before him in the 10 tribes. It started with Jeroboam, who started to serve the calves of gold instead of the living God in Jerusalem. And this idolatry continued. And it became the destruction of the 10 tribes at the end. But he did much more. If you read about this man, if you read about his life, you wonder if this man had a conscience. If you would talk about the sins he did in his as a king in the time that he was ruling, he would ask, "What is your problem?" He had no problem with it. It seems he didn't feel it. It seems he enjoyed it. He did more than any other king to provoke the Lord, the living God. He married Jezebel, a very wicked woman. And then he served her god, Baal. And Baal was a god, an idol, especially for rain, fertility, also of thunder, storm, war. But rain was very important in Israel. It was not like Egypt, having the Nile to overflow the fields and to bring fertility, but depending totally on rain and dew, which could be very strong, the dew. And so Baal was a god of the rain, and he started to serve this god. He built a house for this god in his capital, Samaria, and an altar. And we can see how perverse the whole society became. And there's one example given of the depravity and the decay, moral decay in his days. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof on in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gate thereof in his younger son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. So this is what the Lord spoke in the days of Joshua. Jericho, we know, was destroyed when the people entered the promised land. And the Lord told that, and the Lord spoke that the one who would rebuild this city would be a curse. He would do it at the cost of his firstborn and his youngest son. And here is a man that dared to defy God's curse, and it costed him indeed his firstborn. It's not clear if he willfully sacrificed this son, like we know that it was in paganism, and even Israel did it at a certain time, the sacrificing of your own children to the idols, so that the idols would help you, protect you, and make you prosperous. We don't know for sure if he willfully really sacrificed his oldest son and his youngest son, or if the Lord brought punishment upon this wicked man in taking his oldest and his youngest son out of his life, killing them while he was rebuilding this city, Jericho. He dared to defy God's curse. There was no fear of the Lord before their eyes. You would see them. You would be aware they don't fear God. You could see it in their eyes. They would do what they want. They would trust in themselves. They would be bold in sinning. Their conscience was hardened. They wouldn't listen. They would just sin and enjoy to sin. This is a time that Elijah is living. There is nothing new under the sun, is there? Elijah was a man like us, like you and I. Was he? Was he a man like you and I? Yeah, in this aspect, in the decay, the moral decay in society, he was. We live in a time full of corruption, a world where people unashamed do what they want, serve sin, expose it, are proud about it, continue to do it, not ashamed about it. You can see it clearly. There is no fear of the Lord in their eyes. They tell themselves that their sins will never be judged and punished. They will never be judged about it. That's the same. But our second thought is praying and staying faithful. Elijah was a man like us. Is that true? In other words, how are we in this world and society? Do we live a life like Elijah? Can it be recognized that the fear of the Lord is before our eyes, that we want to walk with God and to stay away from the corruption of sin? Although in ourselves we are not better, but that we have a hatred against it, that we flee from it because of the love of Christ in our hearts, because of the sweet fellowship with God in our lives. Elijah was a man like us. Is that true? He was a human being in a fallen society, in a fallen world, in a sinful world. That's the same. But he was living a life praying and staying faithful with his God, with the Lord. Is that the same with us, with you and I? Is there fighting against the wickedness that is surrounding us and tempting us within all the time, and that connects so perfectly to my old nature? My old sinful nature loves sin. I can understand those people. If it was not for the grace of God, if it was not for the Word of God that became powerful in my heart, I would be in the same spot. And you can be there in different ways. You can cover it by religion, by religious life, but at the same time, very hypocritical. You can be very hypocritical. Or you can do it openly, in a rude way, in a brutal way, to live in sin. Do you understand that those people have that wickedness in those days? Did God show you your own heart? Do you understand people around you? They understand if they are totally given to sin and caught in sin. Do you understand it? Because you have seen the miracle of the hand of God, the love of Christ that kept you from living out what you find within, from doing what you could do if you would follow your depravity inside. We are all the same. We are human beings, fallen human beings. But is there that difference worked by God in your heart and life, by faith, by looking unto Christ, that He works so powerfully in your heart that you live a life of prayer, faithful because of the faithfulness of God? Elijah was a man like us. Is that true? Like us? We as a church, are we like Elijah in this world, in this society? Let us examine our hearts and lives. Let us think and pray about it and meditate about it and confess our guilt and sin, that we are inclined and prone and really are so many times so worldly, so conformed to this world, instead of being transformed to the image of Christ. It's remarkable that when the Lord Jesus asking his disciples in Matthew 16, whom do people say that I am? And that the answer is, among many answers, well, some say Elijah. So there was something in Christ that made people to remember Elijah. So you could say Elijah lived a Christ-like life so long before Christ was in this world, by the grace of God. It's remarkable if you read about John the Baptist, how his life would be. And when the angel came to Zechariah to bring the message about the birth of his son, that it was told He shall go before him, before Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Something in it that is everywhere the same. We have to be a man like Elijah, transformed to the image of Christ, praying and staying faithful. This generation, you cannot conquer it except for praying and fasting. That's what the Lord Jesus told his disciples. Watch and pray. We have to be like Elijah. We have to follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he is, all of a sudden, as if he was rising out of the ground. There he's standing before Ahab. It seems he's not afraid at all, standing before the king, such a cruel king, who could just kill him and wouldn't even think about it. And there he is standing, and Elijah, the Tisbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, where did he come from? From the Lord. God sent this man to speak to this wicked king. God is still calling and sending people. Not all will be pastors or working in the mission. There is a calling to be salt in a world full of corruption, to be light in a world full of darkness, where so many live without hope because they don't have the knowledge of God. And there he is standing all of a sudden to confront the king with the word of God. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's the message. It's a short sermon, isn't it? But it's so powerful. It's the word of God. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, Lord, is it capital letters? In Hebrew, it has Jehovah or Yahweh. The way the Lord revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, they didn't consume. He is a faithful God, the God that doesn't change. He's the living God, the God of the covenant. As the Lord Jehovah God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. I'm not standing before you. I'm not your servant. I'm the servant of the living God. I'm not a servant of Baal. It's so clear, and God will make it clear that Baal isn't living at all, isn't a God at all. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, that's what I declare here before you, King, that there is a living God, the God of Israel, Yahweh. And as sure as this God is living, he's not like Baal. You have to make an image, take care of it, keep it clean, protect it. Be careful, it might fall. No, that's not my God. That's not how the God of Israel is. He is the living God before whom I stand. You hear the joy in the voice of Elijah. He is a servant of God. You see the authority in whom he is there, standing before the king, and the way he is speaking. He is speaking in the authority of the living God, before whom I stand. He was aware of that. And he was speaking in the name of the Lord. That's why he could do it. That's why you could do it. Speak in situations that you beforehand might say, I couldn't do that. I would be afraid. If you would have a life of prayer, if I would have a life of prayer like Elijah, it doesn't matter where you stand. Wherever you stand before the living God, the God of Israel. That makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. Then you have the words, and then you have the boldness. If those people dare to defy the living God, would we not dare to give glory to God in front of them? If those people dare to serve images, what a shame, foolish thing. Would we not dare to make it clear that we serve the God of heaven and earth, the Creator, the living God? What a glory it is. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Baal cannot help you. You can ask Baal, nothing will happen, only according to my word, because I stand before the living God. How totally helpless are all the idols of this world, of man, the idols that we make. They collapse in one moment. The most powerful nations go down. The most powerful economies go down. We make idols of them. And God will make it clear that he alone is God. It's about his name, about his glory. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Yes, they say Baal is the son of the rain, the God of the rain. And he is not. There will be no rain. And this is terrible. You know what that means, Elijah? No rain in years, in a country that is totally depending on rain and dew. People are gonna starve. This is horrible. Think about children that will cry for food. Think about burnt fields outside, no crop. Think about the farmers, how desperate they will be. Yes, even the king would go out and seek for food, grass for his animals. The king himself, so desperate, in need of everything. So God is sending a drought to show that Baal can do nothing. God is sending a drought to bring people to conversion, to repentance. And Elijah had been praying about it. James 5. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. So the history didn't start here, where we all of a sudden see Elijah standing before Ahab. No, he started far before that moment. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Did you ever do that? Could you imagine that you could do such a thing? That you could pray earnestly that it might not rain? Is that not cruel? It's a disaster for the whole nation. No, you see it wrong. This is not a disaster. The disaster is that they've turned away from God. There was already a disaster. The country was already ruined by the idolatry, by leaving the living God. But people many times don't see it. As long as they feel good, as long as they have food, as long as they can enjoy and entertain themselves, people are okay with it. Oh, what about the servant of the Lord? Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, that should be different. But, well, we go on. We still have our things here on earth. We still can live. We have a good time together. Yeah, you're probably right. We should do some things different. No, we have destroyed the foundations. If we turn away from God, and the worst is that we don't see it. As long as the Lord is not coming with his judgment, most people are not aware of the ruin that there is in society and in the land, because we're doing pretty good. We have everything we want. Is that true? If the service of the Lord is ruined, could you say we have everything we want, we have everything we need? No. You lack what you really need. You need God. Are you a man, a woman like Elijah, who was so desperate about the destruction of the nation by the king Ahab, going on for years and years, 22 years, that he prayed earnestly that it would not rain? And it did not rain for 3.5 years. But the hunger, the lack of food, the suffering of people, the need that you yourself might come in, Elijah, is all not that important compared to the glory of God. We have to return to God. We have to return to the living God. Otherwise, there is no future in our personal lives, in our national life. He was fully aware of that. There's no doubt about it. It was so clear to him that he could pray earnestly that God would give a conversion. He saw people have to feel it. People have to experience that they've turned away from God. So he prayed that it wouldn't rain, so that people might convert. Our soul is more important than the whole world, everything you can gain in this world. Do you believe that? And by the way, this prayer of Elijah was not something random. It was a prayer according to God's word. It was already written in the books of Moses, Deuteronomy 11, where it says, if the people would serve other gods, God's wrath would be kindled, and there will be no rain. So he just prayed that God would keep his word. He was at home in the Word. He knew the Word of God. And so he prayed with the words of the Lord himself. Even if it was against himself in a certain way according to his flesh. He was so much standing before the Lord that he could pray that prayer. Do you understand that? So can we say Elijah was a man like us? Can we say that? Is that true about you and I? Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing the Psalter 95, stanza 1 through 3. 95 says, "One, fret not thyself, nor envious be, when wicked workers thou shalt see who prosper in their way." 95, stanza 1 through 3. Congregation, it is not something that brings you comfort to a comfortable life in this world if you are used by the Lord to be a man, a woman like Elijah. It didn't bring him comfort, did it? To be obedient in prayer and witnessing in this world is a dangerous thing in a world full of depravity and decay. It causes danger, you could say, to bring the word of the Lord. But you cannot do different. If God is speaking, who can be silent? The word will be like a fire in your bones. You will have to speak, and God will keep you. Like Elijah was kept by God's providence. That is for sure. And God will not forsake them. that by his grace are faithful to him. He will test them. There will be tribulation in their life, but they will be kept, like Elijah was kept. Elijah prayed a prayer. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, that it might not rain, and it rained not. So yeah, he prayed against himself, against his own prosperity. And that couldn't stop him. No, the glory of God was so much on his heart that he did pray this prayer earnestly. Yeah, the result is that he had to hide himself, because otherwise the king would find him, or the queen, Jezebel, and kill him. So he had to hide and to depend really on the protection and the providence of the Lord. And that's what the Lord told him. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The lonely place where he had to go. How would he get food? How would he stay alive? And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And that's what he did. He's obedient in bringing the bird, obedient to going to this lonely place. And the ravens had to come to feed him. Unclean animals. Is that the way of the Lord? And what about the drought? If the brook would get dry, how many questions you can have about the way of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, how many uncertainty it brings in a human way, but not at all from the side of the Lord. He will take care of his servant Elijah, and he did. So, oh, that we all would be a man like Elijah. Live a life like he did. It's not comfortable, usually, according to the understanding of this world. And that's not that important. Yeah, it's not always easy. Was it easy for Elijah to be there? To be alone is so hard. To be without a fellowship of children of God. It is not a wonder that he thought that he was left alone, and it all went after Baal. The Lord had kept, he didn't see it, the Lord had kept 7,000. They didn't bend the knee for Baal. He didn't see it, especially not when he was in that dark situation, being exhausted. After he was standing there in front of the people to give a testimony about the service of God, that one choice that they should make. Elijah was a man like us, living in evil days, but praying according to the word of God and kept by the Lord in a way that we as human beings would not have chosen. But he was obedient. Are we like Elijah in this world? Yes, a world full of decay, that's the same. What about us? Can something of Christ be seen in our lives? Are we by the grace of God transformed to the image of Christ? That starts at a point that we become before God whom we are, a guilty sinner, and look unto the cross and cry out for grace and believe. By faith have his righteousness imputed first act of faith, of a true faith, to embrace Christ, this righteousness, and that you can say, He is mine, and I'm His. All my sins are upon Him, His righteousness given to me. And the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. He works that faith. He will never, never go away. Yes, we should seek to be filled more by that Spirit. And that Spirit will stay and dwell within. Transform our lives by showing us more of that love of Christ. Keep us. Provide for this life and a better life. And remember Christ, how He prayed in a certain way against Himself. Father, if it is possible that I would take this cup away, not my will, but Thy will be done, and God's will was done. He was accused. He was judged. He was condemned. He died. He took the punishment so that I could be delivered, set free, be forgiven, be accepted by God. Oh, that my soul would be filled with food, with His living breath of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a man like Elijah is such a blessed life. What can happen to you? Yeah, you might have your dark nights, and you will. But God will keep you. Remember how He would, even in the desert, when Elijah was so discouraged and Jezebel was decided to kill him, the Lord provided for him, encouraged him, and gave him help. Elisha, God will provide for you. Oh, be a man, a woman, like Elijah. Or should I say, yes, I should say, transform to the image of Christ. Follow me, Paul said, like I follow Christ. What is a secret? Let me mention three things here. Elijah standing before Ahab was far more aware that he was standing before the King of Kings. That consciousness in your mind and heart, the faith, standing before God. It doesn't matter if you stand before a beggar or a king. So be aware. Let it be and be aware. You stand before the King of Kings. The second thing, Elijah understood the evil of sin. He saw it. He saw how bad it was in his days. He was not dreaming. He was awake. He was watching. It was clear to him. And he knew the word. Yes. Even the word of punishment, and was united to that word, had a zeal for the Lord. So that's the second thing. Understood the evil, united to the word, with a zeal for the Lord. And the third thing about Elijah, about this secret that this man could stand there all at a sudden before this king. The third secret is, Elijah was willing to lose anything for the Lord, for Christ, to lose company, to lose comfort, to lose safety, humanly spoken, for the Lord, for His people, for His kingdom, for His glory. He was willing to give it up because Christ gave up everything. You, a man, a woman, like Elijah. There was in the Netherlands, in history, a mother and a son. Very poor. All the food was gone. There was no wood to heat the house. And the mother was in tears. This poor widow. And then her son walked to the door, opened the door. It was winter time, it was cold. She was amazed. She was surprised. She was, "What are you doing, son? It's getting colder here." He says, "I'm letting the ravens in." And then the leader of the village would say in the Dutch, the burgemeester. He walked in the street. He saw an open door in wintertime. He came in, told the story. He said, "I'm going to be your ravens." Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that we will have that faith of Elijah. We'll live that life, being transformed to the image of Christ. Better than all the things of this world is thy goodness in our heart, thy comfort, fellowship with thee. Forgive our unbelief, O Lord, the many times that we have doubted thee. Bless us, for Christ's sake, with spiritual blessings. Whatever thou would take away, Lord, whatever is a hindrance between our souls and thee, Lord, that it would be removed. For our nation, in our personal life, so that we will have that conversion, that daily conversion to thee, that daily walk with thee. To be with thee like Elijah now is, to be with thee for eternity. To give thee all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts. Oh, fill us with that power of the Holy Spirit and of the grace of Christ by his one and only sacrifice once forever. Help us in the catechism, Sunday school classes, adult discussion groups. For the last time, we thank thee for all thou hast given, O Lord, this season that's behind us. Thou would bless thy word in the hearts of children, young people, adults. We all need it. I thank thee that thou hast given the strength, the wisdom to lead, to teach. And Lord, that the fruits will be seen. Thou would keep thy church from generation to generation. We pray, Lord, hear us. Not that we deserve, but for Christ's sake alone. Amen.